Hello and welcome to Hangout Cafe, a podcast where we have candid conversations with some truly courageous guest baristas about their life's journey, their triumphs and their defeats. I'm your host, Oluwadiaga, and every week I have the privilege of sitting down with these interesting individuals, each with a unique story to tell, with the hope of encouraging and uplifting all who hear. Thanks for joining us today.
Choose to challenge. You know, we live in a challenged world, but women have made a lot of contribution, and a lot of times they haven't been acknowledged. You know, there's a lot of bias, there's a lot of gender inequality, and that's why we need to, anybody that's doing well or doing anything to challenge the status quo or whatever you want to call it, we celebrate them. And you're in a field that is predominantly male, so we are celebrating you. And the truth, collectively, we can create an inclusive world. So everyone should choose to challenge, and challenge, as we all know, comes when we challenge, then change hopefully will come. So let's all choose to challenge. Let's not settle for, you know, okay, it's fine, that's how it's been done. Let's challenge things. Okay, so our guest for today, for those who don't know, but already we all know, is Adebanke Olayinwola. Yes. She is an FAA certified airline transport pilot and a multi-engine instrument rated commercial airline pilot. She has broad experience flying both continentally and internationally. I've been doing that for over 7 years, I believe.
Yeah.
For 7 years. And you are the first African, whether male or female, first African to fly the 747 Dreamlifter. Is that right?
Yes, the Dreamlifter, female. To fly
the 747 Dreamlifter. Now, you're going to tell us what that is later on. But before we go I know you grew up in Ibadan. Oh, you were born in Ibadan, grew up in Ibadan, secondary. And I lived in Ibadan for a number of years, so I have that connection with you. I think we used to live in Bodija. I think that's what we were called, Bodija.
Grew up in Ring Road. I used to live around Ring Road in Ibadan. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about growing up in Ibadan. Oh, I have this another family is here. You too grew up in Ibadan.
Oh, nice. For me, I like to, Ibadan, everybody should, don't let me make any assumption here. Ibadan is like any other nice city. You know, the culture is there. Growing up in Ibadan, they instill in you how to behave, the Yoruba culture, having to, you know, you have to respect everybody around you. So growing up in Ibadan, or I believe maybe even if I have grown up in maybe Lagos or any other part of Nigeria, they instilled in you that value.
Yeah.
Growing up in Ibadan, it's all about having values, as in culturally, being respectful, what is expected of you, go to school, graduate from school, get married, don't go and get pregnant out of wedlock. So Ibadan is all about that growing up in Ibadan. And when I think of Ibadan, I always think of it, that is my root. That is actually where I'm coming from. That is the foundation, who I am today. And I'm not going to say everything is perfect. There are things that, okay, along the line, okay, things can be done differently. The way one used to think growing up, life isn't really not that. So, but in general, it was good. It was fun. I enjoyed my early childhood growing up with I have two sisters, two brothers. And I do have a brothers and sisters also. And it was just nice. It was a nice, you know, the good, the bad, no ugly, but the good, the bad, and the best. That's the way I like to describe it.
Are your parents still in Ibadan?
My mom is in Ibadan. My dad passed when I was very little, like a toddler.
Sorry about that. It's fine.
You know, I was a baby, so I really didn't know.
You didn't know him.
Yeah, I didn't have much memory of him.
Okay.
Ibadan was fun. I went to school in Ibadan, primary and secondary school. Then I proceeded to OAU, Obafemi Awolowo University. I graduated from Ife before I went to England for my master's.
Okay, so let's take it from there. So you went to England for your master's, but it was it was to do a master's in international globalization.
Yes.
At the university. But you actually you studied education at OAU, right?
Yes, I did. I studied education at OAU, totally different. I was just like, okay, let me just go to school. Because then too, even when I was in OAU, I convincing my family to send me abroad. I wanted to study medicine. Okay, let me just go abroad. I really don't want to be here and everything. They're like, nope, just go finish your school, gain your admission, and afterwards you can do whatever you want to do. And growing up in Ibadan then, you know, most people, by the time you finish secondary school or maybe when you are in your first or second year of college, they are already moving to, is it mostly England or maybe America? People are going there. So I wanted to follow that path that, okay, that way I can even start seeing the world by maybe if they should. But that didn't happen anyway. So like, okay, you know, but I studied education while I was in Ife, and then I served with Ecobank. Then I proceeded to England for international globalization. And it was while I was there that I have all that curiosity of seeing the world. It's still ingrained in my body, and I'm like, okay, working with an airline will be the way out. I just have to work with one of
them. Working with airline, you were global. What was it you were doing? Health trainer or something?
Yeah, aviation health. I was training aviation health because my first degree is in aviation. Is in health.
Okay.
Health education. So it was in aviation, as in aviation health. Even though I didn't have any experience with any of the airlines, and I saw that job advert on Evening Standard newspaper. I saw it. Yeah, they were looking for people, and I was like, oh no, I have to do this. Just out of curiosity, and I applied. I wasn't expecting them. I was just like, let me just apply. And I did. They called me for the first stage, second stage. Then they flew me to Abu Dhabi for the third stage. And I got the job.
Wow.
So, and then I was still running my program, my master's program. So I was shuttled back and forth. And it was quite challenging, but exciting at the same time.
Okay, so how did you get into... how did you start flying planes from just being the health trainer? Tell us about that.
In Abu Dhabi, our office space is like open office. We do have pilot trainers. The pilot trainers are obviously pilots. And we have other flight attendants, cabin crew trainers. Yeah. And we also have like someone like my department is aviation health. We train both pilots and flight attendants. But I was always asking the pilots. I was always asking them questions. I will take their manuals. I'll be reading up on their manuals, their SOP, and I'll be asking questions. So what happens if standard operating procedure? The standard operating procedure of an aircraft or different aircraft. So and then, remember, I was still working on my master's program. So I used to leave Abu Dhabi on Thursdays and fly back to London
to
classes. So I was doing that also. So it was while one of, and anytime I would be flying, I would still try to peep into the cockpit, ask them questions. They know me. So one of the pilots, a Canadian pilot, he said to me, "I think you have the bug. You should go for it. You should, you know, you are young, go for it. You have the bug." I was like, "Really?" He said, "Okay, this is what I would do. Anytime we are together, I would be in London and you're in London, I will give you what we call introductory flight ticket."
Okay.
So that introductory flight ticket, based on that, you can go up. Because it's one thing to love flying. It's one thing to say, "Oh, wow, I like the aircraft." It's another thing to actually be inside of it and know whether this is for you or not.
Yeah.
So when I went on that flight and I landed, I was screaming. I landed. I was super excited. I was like, "Oh my God, this was so cool." And the captain looked at me. "So you like it?" I said, "I love it." And he looked at me. Now, very seriously, he looked at me. I said, "The only person that can stop you is you. Good luck."
Wow.
That was it. That was it. And I believe 6 months to 7 months after, I moved to Philadelphia.
Okay. For training.
For training. Okay. Even though it was challenging, it wasn't the easiest thing. It wasn't easy because I got to Philadelphia in the thickness of the winter. It was snowing. I was at the point, the first few weeks of me driving to my flight school, where the airport where we do the flight training. I came out and I was trying to get into the car and I saw this. I thought it was like maybe, so I just saw this bright, scary eyes. It was still dark. Apparently, that fox, you know, I think.
Wow.
I was so scared. I screamed. I was scared. And that day, that would be the day I just started crying. That, what am I even doing? Why do I even want to do this? Who sent me? I could have just said, be doing whatever it is that I was doing before. But I am very grateful to God that I did not give up.
Yeah.
There will be challenges. We always talk about the glory. Yeah. There are always challenges behind those stories. That I can see.
Absolutely. And I bet that the words that the gentleman said to you, that the only person that can stop you is, I'm sure you keep remembering that all the time.
All the time. Anytime I feel like, okay, well, things are not working the way it should be, or I always set goals for myself, and I just look at myself. The only person, nobody
can.
Funke will not stop me.
No.
Bola will not stop me. Choma will not stop me. Nobody. No, we always want to be like, "Oh, somebody stop." No, nobody will stop you. Pray, believe in it, try. I always tell my mentees, like, failure is not an option. You are going to fail. It's okay.
It's okay to fail.
Go through that.
Yeah.
It's just knowing that you should just always have your eyes on the ball. You're going to fall down. You have to pick up yourself and keep moving. That is life.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, no, don't come with, "Oh, yeah, you are crying." Yes, cry. If you have to cry, cry. Get mentorship. Get a support system. Get all of that. But stand up, stand strong, and stand firm.
Fantastic.
That's what I believe.
Okay. Wow.
Yes.
I love that. Nobody can stop me.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's talk about, because the reality of life is that, especially with this kind of profession, I'm sure you encountered some challenges. So let's talk us through some of the challenges that you encountered. And maybe not you necessarily, but you've seen other female pilots encountered.
Oh.
What kind of challenges?
There will always be different. That's a standard. There will always be challenges. I fly for an American company. I live in America. Okay. And with all due respect, I always want to be, sometimes I always think, let me put myself in some of these people's shoes.
Okay.
They've never had the opportunity. I'm talking about men in their 50s, okay, late 40s,
yeah,
50s, coming from Kansas, coming from Alabama, coming, yeah, from, they have never had the opportunity to be in the cockpit with someone like me.
Okay.
Career. Not only is it that I'm black,
yeah,
I'm female, I'm African, and mm-hmm, I have my, and you know, once you, people always talk about, okay, oh, and I have my accent. So I always thought that, yeah, yeah, I'm a Nigerian. Yeah, that's why I'm going to sound different from you. So some people, it's to them, I'm foreign to, mm-hmm, some of those people. I look foreign. And it's not just only me. It will happen to, I bet it's happening to every other people, somebody that looks like me.
Okay.
Do you understand? So yeah. Initially, there might not be much communication.
Okay.
People, you know, they might not say much to me.
Right.
But eventually, my professionalism, my knowledge,
okay,
and also when I make mistakes, yeah, I'm a pilot. I will make mistakes. It's okay. When I make mistake, I own it.
Mm.
Oh, I made this mistake. I recognize that I made this mistake.
Yeah.
Oh, I will correct it, and I may immediately say, oh, do you have anything to say? You don't get feedback.
Yeah.
Even though in my mind I wasn't really looking forward to hear that bashing of feedback, but take it.
Yeah.
It's just life.
Right.
So for me, the challenge is, it's not going to go anywhere.
Okay.
So that is what I always tell some of my mentees and everything, that it's not going to go anywhere. And this is me talking about my experience in America, flying in America internationally and everything.
Yeah.
I flew in Nigeria too. It, yeah, came with all its own challenges.
The same thing. Wow.
It's different. It's okay. Different. In Nigeria, you have to let... How will I explain it? It's different. I want to be politically correct. But at the same time, it's... Nigeria...
Let's put it this way. Is it, which, I was going to say, which one is worse? But, which one did you think was worse? Flying in Nigeria? Or...
It is more of just cultural understanding. In Nigeria, you will be perfectly okay if you know how to say, yes, sir, okay, captain, don't challenge your captain.
Okay.
I learned that pretty quick. When I started flying in Nigeria, I was coming from, I've left Nigeria and I worked with Etihad. Then I went to flight school. So I've gotten into a situation whereby when I see something not right,
yeah,
the way they train me is to speak up.
Yeah.
If I have questions, yeah, the crew, the captain in this situation, oh, captain, and these are older not holding up to be my parent, and they'd be like, how dare you ask? Then by the time I got a little knock up here and there, I realized the emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you have to now. And when people talk about emotional intelligence, I said, that is wisdom.
Yes.
Go and read Bible, the wisdom,
yes,
of soul.
Yes.
That is your emotional intelligence.
Yes.
right there.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Thank you for that. So talking about challenges again, do you feel challenged to retain your femininity in your work environment? Or do you find
no,
that gender plays little or no part in your environment?
For me, I this is who I am. I'm not going to change my femininity. I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I embrace it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's not going to change.
Yeah.
And gender, when I go to work, I go to work as a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go to work as a female pilot, a black pilot,
mm-hmm.
a tall pilot, a dark pilot, or a short. No, I go to work
as a pilot,
as a qualified professional pilot.
I love
and
that.
I want.
I love that. I love that. Whoa! I love that. Okay.
Thank you.
So, next question, because I got lots of questions for you, if you don't mind. So. We frequently hear that these days you can't be what you've never seen. So I know it was someone who got you on this track, the gentleman that you said told you that you can do it. But so,
yes.
What was your motivation? Because seeing that we didn't really have, I'm not even sure if we have a lot of female pilots, because when I did a research, it said there are only 5% of 5% female pilots in the whole world. 5%.
We are not up to
really. Wow.
Yeah, we are just a little drop. That's why we need more pilots, please. BC, you promise you are trying to become a pilot. I said so we need more pilots. I think I do have some people online that I think there's a lady online. I'm going to check if she's there. One of my mentees.
I saw her name, Zipora something. There's a name that she said you're a mentor. Somebody put a thing there that you're a mentor.
I'm not sure whether that is the way she is using. But the name just escaped me right now.
Okay.
We just started. And, she went for a pilot training and a lot of people discouraged her. I said, don't be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Go. She said, I'm 32.
Okay, is it Antonia?
Antonia. It's Antonia. Yeah. Antonia, sorry. My brain is still early in the morning. Let me drink more tea. So, yes, Antonia, I told her, no, don't ever let age, anything in this world stop you.
Yeah,
look at you should pursue anything you set your mind at, just go for it. So, and I can proudly share a joy. Antonia is she's a commercial airline pilot.
Wow, fantastic!
So I'm proud of her. But to answer your question, for me, I became an aviator out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to see the world. I grew up in Ibadan. We know our Ibadan from Bodija to Challenge to Idirogo. There's nothing much going on. Mm-hmm. Everything we see a lot on TV, and I knew I wanted to see the world.
Okay.
I am adventurous. I'm bold. I just go for it. I wanted to see the world, and I said to myself, maybe when I'm seeing the world, I can get paid doing it.
Absolutely.
So, for me, the kind of role models I do have there, and also maybe I know of people that maybe they travel for work, but no pilot. And the only pilot then growing up I've ever heard of was the lovely lady that was she was the first Nigerian Airways female pilot.
Okay.
And I read her story, they were talking, and she was killed. I was crying.
Oh, yeah.
The people living with her, a cook or driver, they killed her, they threw her in the septic tank. I just couldn't stop crying.
Wow.
So, for me, I was just curious. It was my curiosity that got me.
Okay, talking about you wanted to see the world, so let's just quickly talk about that. How far have you gone? How many countries have you been to? How many continents have you been to?
Let's start with our countries. I will take all our time counting.
Okay.
I will start with continents. I know that I've been to all the continent except maybe, what's that one? The Antarctica. No, Antarctica. Okay. Because I've been to. In short, I might take that, but I've been to, because Australia. I've been to Australia.
Okay.
I've been to North America, South America. I'm from Africa. I've been to Europe.
Yeah.
Western Europe, Eastern Europe. I've been to the Middle East.
Okay.
Into Asia.
Okay. Wow.
There's one. And Anchorage. Anchorage is very close to the North Pole.
Yeah.
I've been to Anchorage. I was based in Anchorage. So,
wow.
Yes.
Whoa. Is there a particular country you love to visit that you haven't been to yet?
That haven't been to yet. I might have a couple of them that I haven't been to, and they were mostly African, East African countries, European countries. Prior to COVID, I have on my agenda, I would love to see more African countries. I love African countries. I've been to quite a few.
Okay.
And I think I should visit more places in Africa. And on my list immediately after all the COVID restriction would be Rwanda. I would like to. A friend of mine just got a job in Kigali.
Okay.
I hope to go to Kigali soon. And East Africa, all those Batik, all those Montenegro, all those places, I heard that pretty lovely. So I would like to go there.
I think Pastor Jen, she's been to Rwanda and she does run something in Rwanda.
Yes. Oh, yes, Pastor Jen, I'm going to reach out to you.
Yeah, yes. She runs something in Rwanda, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this might be a bit personal, but indulge
me. So, okay, I don't have to answer.
You don't have to, yes. So, what's the impact of being in such a mobile career? What's the impact on your social interaction? So in terms of romance as in...
Relationships.
Yeah.
No, it's great. It doesn't look... Whether I'm an astronaut or a pilot or a doctor... Yes, it's the job involves me traveling.
Okay.
However, romance is beautiful with a great person because it doesn't stop me from having a normal relationship. I always try to tell people, because one of the things that I think my mother, she was initially worried about, pilots, even the men, they are struggling to keep a home. Talk less of you as a woman. I said, Mommy, let me tell you something. There's no job in this world. Let me take that back. Maybe there are, or maybe if you are the business owner, that we give you, I work 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off.
Okay.
So I have 2 weeks to work, travel around, then I'm off for 2 weeks. And I have time to do my own thing.
Okay.
And my man, we can travel together, explore together. And I think that kind of lifestyle is, and sometimes when I'm home, I'm just home. I don't go anywhere. I use that one to catch up. I have my NGO that I work on. There are so many things I can do. And my job definitely doesn't stop me from meeting the right person.
Yeah,
stick with you. Yeah. Not because of what you do, who you are. They should be with you because of your person, because I'm a pilot or because I'm not a pilot. It's irrelevant. I don't want someone like that.
Can I ask, are you in a relationship now?
I am talking to someone interested.
Someone is interested, okay. Because I was just going to say, if we're not, I was going to matchmake you.
Yes, I am talking to somebody, and how will I say that? Yeah, like, there's an interesting fellow in the picture.
I like that. Okay. If it doesn't work out, please let me know, because I might introduce you to one or two people.
Yeah, that would be great. The person will not like to hear you say that. Why will he push it? But with their friends, I strongly believe in, you know, just people, there's no pressure. I don't put pressure on myself. Look, life is good. We are blessed. Enjoy each moment. I always tell people when they ask me, there's no when. I don't like that. Our life is a moving wheel. Don't place that restriction on yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So.
Okay, now because we've got parents here, how can we, I know you, okay, actually, you've got an NGO, you said. What's your NGO? What do you do?
It's called STEM, STEM World Foundation. STEM as in the normal STEM, S-T-E. But our foundation is not science, technology. It's STEM of root, how rooted you are. That's what we are looking at. STEM World Foundation, basically also encouraging, mentoring a lot of young people to Nigerians, young Nigerians in this case, to get the education, to get the support that is required to have. We are all about mentorship, internship, and scholarship.
Okay.
And we do right now, EcoBank is that, and I a big shout out to Mr. Kim Wuton. Thank you, MD, for believing in our foundation and supporting also EcoBank and our organization. We are in a, you know, we are working on a project. We call it the Muyiz Project. Muyiz, I met Muyiz during the NSAS era.
Last year.
Time in Lagos in October, and Muyiz was one of the protesters, and Muyiz and I, they were supposed to be breaking my windscreen, but eventually I convinced him and his group that no, you are not armed robbers, you are not, they, you have to change my tire, because in the process of me trying to navigate with the roadblocks, I climbed on, the tire just went off and everything, but Muyiz, I was able to convince them that, no, Muyiz, you can't be doing this. I found out what the boy is with his group. And I told Muyiz, you know, give me your number, write your name. And Muyiz told me he couldn't read or not write. I said, we can't do it. And he just an 18-year-old boy. I said, but would you like to learn how to read and write? He said, yes. So that project, we are working on it today. How to get Muyiz. It's not your conventional kind of education. I'm not saying Muyiz should go, if he wants to proceed and, you know, he's interested in furthering his education, why not? But at least have, learn how to read, write, do some calculations. If somebody should give you 500 naira, know that this is what 500 naira can buy for you. So don't let all these politicians use your brain just because you don't. You would think 5,000 is a lot of money. It's nothing. And it's just lack of education.
Banker, that is just such a touching story. Amazing. Really. Oh my goodness. Really, really. That is an amazing story. I love the way you were able to turn things around. Wow.
Well, God, and one of my mentors in the industry, and I think Funke, you need to talk to her.
Okay.
It's Faith. Her name is she's a captain. She used to, she's one of the youngest then, as a working with younger. I would even think one of the youngest captain to upgrade. In Nigeria, she used to work with aero contractor, but now she flies in Europe. She lives in Europe with her family.
Okay.
She is brilliant, and we are working on this project together. I respect her a lot. I look up to her.
Okay.
I never know how to pronounce her married name. She's married to what it is, people from Holland or something.
Okay.
Holland. So I. Amsterdam.
Do you know something? Mm. I honestly believe in divine connection. And do you know why?
Yeah.
Ask why? Anybody, those that know me, I'm actually into mentoring. I'm a mentor trainer. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. I actually run an organization called Christian Mentoring Organization, but I also train mentors. I run a mentoring scheme in my church. So I know that we're definitely going to do something together as of this.
Yes, everyone. And thank you, BC Dutch. She's Dutch right now. We need to do a lot. We need to mentor.
Yes, more I believe people. In the power
of mentors out there. It's not all about slaying. I have nothing against it. If you want to slay, I don't have anything against that. But I just think a lot of the priorities that is out there, especially for young Nigerians, we haven't measured up at all. Yeah. We can do better.
Definitely.
We can do.
Definitely. Yes. Oh, wow. This is so amazing. Wow. I love that project you're working on. If everybody could do that, I guess some people try, but some people are not bothered. But just that simple thing of you just reaching out to the young man. What's his name again?
Moise. Yeah, Moise. The name of the project, if you look on my page, you might see it, the Moise Project. Moise, I told him, look, you are now my aburo. I've adopted you as my aburo. And the truth is, I have been guilty because I've been pretty busy. That the old project is not taking off. Excuse me, but I try to, and I'm super guilty of not calling Moise in a while, but in short, I'm going to write it and call Moise this weekend. So I reach out to him. We are able to, Moise was like, he wanted, anyway, he didn't have a phone. We organized all of that, but Moise, like any other young guy, he wanted to buy dress up. I said, Moise, that's not our problem right now. Wear that for now. What we want you to do is beyond wanting to.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to. We are going to actually teach you how to fish. Yeah. I'm not giving you any fish. That's
fantastic. Now, someone just asked, how can we support the project? How can we support your project?
Oh, thank you. Once we are up and running, I'm going to reach out also to Captain Faith. I'm going to reach out to her. We are going to set up a platform, and we'll be able to contribute. We will let you know maybe through our we do have an Instagram page, but just bear with us. Through Funke, we will send everything out. You will see the link, and you can please. It's not even about when you want to contribute. Please, we want people to physically talk to people.
Yeah.
We need mentors. Not really about money.
Yeah,
we need to actually do more. Okay. We need mentors. We need people that young people can see.
Yeah,
and they be like. Yes, Captain Faith Odushola, thank you for the person that correct. And thank you very much.
Annette, do you know her?
Annette.
Whoever she is, Annette must know her.
Okay, so Captain Faith, she's my mentor. We will let you know, and we reach out to Captain Faith. Actually, she's actually in charge of the media, certain stuff like that. So I'm going to also reach out to her.
Okay. So once it's set up, and Banker sends the thing to me, I'll post it on my social media thing. So
Thank you.
Amazing. Okay, let's go on.
Thank you.
Looking back at your career so far, is there anything you think you would have done differently? So any risk you would have taken more, opportunities you would have embraced more, choices that maybe you would have modified?
Yes, of course. Yes, there are things that maybe thinking, maybe it's deep. I'm trying to think about things that I feel like right now. Yes, I know there's always let me give you an example.
Okay.
I was working with Delta Connect.
Okay.
I was based out of GA.
Yeah.
And as a pilot, the pinnacle of our career is becoming a captain.
Okay.
And if I, at the time I left the Delta Connect and went to my present airline, if I stayed maybe another a year and a half, maybe I would have upgraded.
Okay.
But I still don't have any regret because it's not all about becoming a captain. It's not that it's good, it's nice. I've gotten to a point whereby it will be really nice on my resume.
Yeah.
However, I decided to, because I was talking to another company that I am hoping to work for them and retire with them.
Yeah.
When I was talking to this prospective company, they were like, okay, maybe if you get a heavy time.
Yeah. What's heavy time?
Heavy time is flying all those big aircraft, like the aircraft I fly right now, the double decker, flying around the world.
Okay.
We call it the heavy time. That is heavy jet.
Okay.
That maybe we'll be able to bring you in for an interview. And that was like 3.5 years ago. Okay. And I just look at it that, okay, I'm doing that. COVID happened. Things are not, the competition is stiff right now. So, but I still did not regret it at all because this experience I had underneath my belt is not all about piloting, it's not about being a technical pilot. It exposed me to meet people from different part of the world, different cultures. It humbled me, like meeting people that are different from me.
Yeah.
Some people will come to, I go to cities in Germany where you don't, it's not, these are not even areas you see people going to. And they will come to me and be touching my skin, chocolate. I said, please don't.
Oh my goodness. It's only an age.
And
some people still haven't seen black people.
Yes. I there are places that they've never seen black people. And I've been to some Eastern European countries.
Yeah.
The men are queuing to take a picture with me. I'm like, no, you can't do this. They wanted to, they were just excited to see someone like me that, oh my God, picture, you know, it humbles me. And there, some of the experiences might be old style and everything. It's also, it's an experience. Take it and learn.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see, there's a question. Do you ever get nervous before a flight?
Do I get nervous?
Yeah.
No, not really, except... No, I don't get nervous. But let me rephrase this.
Okay.
Sometimes you look at the weather.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what is... Maybe the weather we are trying to... Sometimes if the weather is coming in, typhoon, maybe flying in Asia... We need to get out
as soon as possible.
Stuff like that. So the stress level is super, super high. You are trying to, everybody have something to do. No room for error because we are trying to get out. And so, yeah, no, I won't say nervous, but maybe the stress level might be high. And nervousness, not been nervous. And I fly to Afghanistan. Okay. I fly to Afghanistan. Flying into Afghanistan, it's not the same kind of flying. This is a war zone. So the operation, and then there is different. I won't be able to divulge that information, but it's different. that what we do there. So the nervousness, maybe not nervous, but the stress level is high.
The stress
look at
level,
things because you can, the plane can be shut down.
Wow.
Yeah, the stress
level
is high.
Let me ask you, even the thought, I guess it's part of the job, because I was just thinking, even the thought that, my goodness, this plane can be shut down at any time, does that impact you at all?
No, you can't. We can't live our life being so fearful. No,
I love you. I love you so much. I love you so much.
Thank you. You know, I always pray to God. God, I please. I want to live long. I want to see my children. I want to bury my own parents. You know, I pray for all of that. But at the same time, don't be afraid. You can't. You cannot be afraid. We can just thank God, live a good life, impart, add value. I'm always saying, talking about me doing all of this, I don't believe in accolades. I don't want people to say, oh, she's the first person to do this, first person to do that. Okay, with all of that, how many lives have I impacted? So for me, when I see Tonya, I love you, girl. That's because from day one, the journey, Tonya's journey, we started it together. I'm seeing her today. It makes me super proud because I know she will pay it forward.
Absolutely.
A lot of people will sit on her shoulders too because she can stand up there that, look, I did it. You can do it.
Yeah. I think like someone said, impact is key. Impact, you can't put a price on impact. Where you live, make a difference in someone's life. It's so important. And that's what mentors do. A good mentor, anyway. You play for. I love this woman. Yeah. I love this woman. Okay.
Thank you.
But okay, still on that topic. What's the scariest moment you had in flying? Scariest moment.
Scariest moment. Will be, I will use that flying into the first time I was flying into Afghanistan.
Okay.
Some of the things we have to do.
Okay.
It was almost like we cannot be seen. Enemy cannot see you. They might send the rocket launcher. I'm like, Jesus. I started praying. I said, hey, my Jeje, oh my bad, I'm Jeje, no. Sorry for not Yoruba speakers. Like, you know, but not for so long. I was just like, look, it is fine. So, but I can't think of any, even when you go through weather, people ask, I'm not afraid of that. You just navigate, you avoid weather, but knock on the wood. That part flying into Afghanistan and
that's
everything. Yeah, okay. The tension was super high and that was the one.
Okay, now I know that you've talked about mentoring people, but how can we get, what are the things that parents can do, mentors can do to get more, especially female, to get them into this profession? What are the things that we can do?
We have to invest more time. We have to encourage them, and you have to also show.
Okay.
Some of these kids, they've never been to the airport. They've never seen an aircraft. We can start by that. Okay, let's go on excursion. And excursions shouldn't be for, it shouldn't be all about, the rich and the poor. You know, just give that child coming from, maybe they are in somewhere in Ife or something, let them have that experience. And again, we can also bring the airports to them. We can bring all of them by showing them movies, let them see, and we can talk about our experiences, we can record this and show them. So it these are all pictures. When people see, it stick.
Yeah.
Especially kids. They can remember. So That is one way we can do that. Another way is it's okay for them to try. It's okay for them not to try and fail. If they are passionate about it, don't worry. We have to encourage them. Not that the parents and we saw some mentors is no, you don't have the ability. Olodo. No, there's nothing like that. You don't do that. Even if you think, you can advise that, okay, try this. If you did it this way, try it the other way. So I strongly believe in that. We just have to I don't lose hope on anybody. I'm always like, no, nobody is useless. There's just something that you can get out of someone.
But I guess one of the challenges is also the cost. Is it expensive to train as a pilot?
It is very expensive. I'm not even going to. Yeah, it is very, very expensive. I got scholarship when I was doing. Yes, I was. Yeah. So for me, what I also tell some of my mentees is, okay, like I'm a member of Sisters of the Sky. I'm a member with of OBAP and Women in Aviation. All of this, you always have to look for those scholarships. And some of these companies, they also
They give scholarships.
we need a lot of Nigerian organization companies that they can do more of that. I'm not going to knock off any, maybe like all the big bro. I'm not knocking anything off, but I just wish they can also have a program that just give these people money. So we are talking of building a nation. We
I agree.
do
No,
all this
you're so right.
reality, the nation alone. We have to mix it all together.
Now, and
We
it's
have to.
true, because I'm like you said, we're not knocking any of this, but when you're investing in some of these reality shows, instead of investing in that, invest in programs for young ladies or
But
young guys.
yeah, young ladies, always pushing for young ladies, for young boys, for even when I'm even adult. There are some adult people, some people have afraid to change their career at 40. I said, why are you putting that stipulation on yourself? Go for it. Don't ever.
Don't ever.
If Biden has given up, he wouldn't be where he is. Kamala Harris, people are doing stuff. Never ever stop yourself from moving
Never.
forward.
I love
Never.
we serve a God that is limitless. We serve a God that's not limited by anything. So why should we,
Anything.
his creation, be limited or limit ourselves? Come on.
Because we have faith in ourselves. And yes, we don't believe in ourselves. That's why.
Oh, this is my goal. I love this bag. Ooh. Okay, let me.
Thank you. I'm talking to myself also, please. When I say some of this, I'm also encouraging myself that no bank, you have to. Nobody can accept you. Can keep. God has given us everything. The key is with us. We just have to open that door.
Absolutely.
It's there for us.
Sorry, just a question now. Okay, yes. Is there an age limit to training as a pilot?
Okay. Retirement age for no. To answer your question, for number one, I won't say the age limit. If you retirement age for as a pilot, a professional pilot is 65. Now, after 65, I now want to still be fine and be getting paid. I can still do that. That's why you can see some of these people flying the private jet. You will see some ALO looking. They might have done what we call commercial flying. Now they move to what we call demand operators. Those are the
Demand.
private jet. They are demand operators. The owner of the private jets, we tell them when to go and when to sit. So 65 is the professional age all over the world, But if you, after you retire, you still think you want to still be flying, go to, you can do that by going to private jets and do all of that. Also, you can actually have your private pilot license, and you don't need to fly for it. You just fly. In America, it's very common. You see a lot of middle managements. They have their own aircraft. If you go to Florida, a lot of community in Florida, they have their own private runway. Okay. They buy their lift there, they take off, and maybe they work in New York and they live in Florida. So they fly and come.
Okay.
So you can also get your private pilot license.
Okay. And like business, you can also become a trainer afterwards when you retire.
Yes, you can also. True. Yes. Thank you, Biste. That's why she's a good student of mine. let me harass her. Yes, you can also become a trainer. And this is very right. You can become a trainer. You can also work in operations. There's so many things you can do. You can become. You can also work for FAA.
Okay.
In Nigeria, we call them NCAA in Nigeria.
NCAA.
And so there's so many things that can be done even after retiring as a professional pilot.
Okay. Let me just ask this. As a female pilot, do you think you and your and the other female pilots, do you think you contribute in a positive way that's different to the male pilots, to your profession? Is there a positive difference that you bring to the profession?
I think so. Okay. Because, yes, when we are, I call them my support system.
Okay.
There are times that things will happen. I will be furious. I will be angry. You will feel alone. And I'm going to shout out to someone like one of my very good mentors, Rachel Kerr, Stephanie. These are female pilots. Rachel Kerr happens to be the captain of all black female crew. That was like 12 years ago.
Whoa.
She's a pilot and an instructor with Delta. She's one of my mentors. Stephanie Hatfield, Stephanie Grant. I reach out to those people, and anything you think you are going through, they've been there. They've been there. I'll be like, oh, they are not nice to me. They are treating me like as if I have to prove myself. One of them talked to me. No, if you still have to be proving yourself, no, you are not. Something is wrong. You don't need to prove yourself.
Mm.
Go there, do your job. You're going to be criticized anyway.
Yeah.
Try to prove yourself. Learn. Be professional.
Yeah.
Be very good at what you do. That is the best way to keep clear all the doubts. That's what we get. Clear all their doubts and move on.
I love that.
And the doubts still there. Let them deal with it. So for me, I reach out to this group of sisters, and I hope in Nigeria we can also do more of that with my Nigerian female aviators. And I'm guilty. I'm definitely guilty because I know that we do have some charts. I'm not very good with all those charts. It gives me headache, all those grouping on WhatsApp. I don't join it. I can't handle it. But I do know there are some groups like that. So for me, when I want to talk to some professional female pilots also, like myself, if I experience anything, I reach out to someone like Faith. I can reach out to her or some of the ladies I mentioned. Yes.
You see, again, based on what Banker said, it's just telling us that it's so important to have mentors in our lives. It is so, so important.
No matter what, you have to.
Yeah.
People always think mentorship is about age or something. It could be somebody younger than you, but they've been there. Yeah. They've gone through whatever you think you are going through,
yeah.
reach out to them.
Yes.
Let them be your support system.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
And again, like I always say that at any point in life, we're either a mentor or a mentee. So you have a mentor.
Yeah.
And then you have a mentee and you're mentoring someone. So it's like a circle. You're a mentor, mentee, and the circle goes round.
Yeah. Yes.
It's so important.
It's true.
Every single one of us. And we are all meant to be in a mentoring relationship. Okay. There's a question. Out of interest, what secondary school did you attend in Ibadan? Someone just asked that.
I went to Wesley College of Science and Queen's School, Ibadan.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some
people. Queen's School, then. Yes.
Is there anybody that went to Wesley College or Queen's School? Anyone?
Queen's School, up QSI. Up QSI.
So, because we're the theme for International Women's Day is choose to challenge, right? Tell me, are there other things that you want to challenge yourself with in, and other areas that you want to challenge yourself in?
Oh yes, definitely. I am open to one day soon, hopefully, I would love to become an entrepreneur myself, run my own aviation outfit.
Woo! Fantastic.
So for me, I'm like, okay, all these people can do it. We all also have to bring it back home. Mm-hmm. We can also there's so many things we can do given the opportunity.
Yeah.
The way Nigeria, the way we travel,
yeah.
we don't even have we don't have the facilities. We don't have a 21st century airport in Nigeria. So those are the things I imagine myself like, okay, we can do this. We can build airports.
Talking about that, Banke, sorry to interrupt you. Talking about that, how do you feel when you've flown abroad, you've seen the airports, and then you fly Nigeria and you see, how do you feel? How do you cope?
It's heartbreaking. It's not nice. I know, unfortunately, I know international pilot that, American pilot that we flew together. They don't want to fly to. They find it extremely challenging. To fly in our airspace is challenging. You have to be on your toes. Wow. It's a lot of stress for a lot of pilots. So if you're not very good, you don't want to fly into Lagos.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it's just like, and there are other airports, there are other places like that.
Okay.
I'm just looking for me. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking at my own home.
Mm.
My home is Lagos.
Yeah.
My home is Nigeria.
Yeah.
What can we do different?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you go to Senegal approaches, shooting and approaching to Senegal is beautiful. You would think you are in any international airport.
Wow.
If you flow into Senegal, I'm talking of Senegal, Dakar.
Mm.
They have 21st century instrument landing system.
We can do better, yeah. We can do better. Some of the airports in the Caribbean sound better. No, well, I remember when I went to Nassau in Bahamas. This was like...
In Bahamas, yeah.
Yes, the first time, the airport wasn't fantastic. But over the years, they've changed the airport and it's beautiful now. And that's what we expect, change. That's what we want to see in Nigeria, change.
I would say today, I don't know, the person that wrote that,
yeah.
If you keep looking at, but this person's own is not as good as mine, I'm okay. We won't be there. Okay, let's compare ourselves to the ones that are better. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Why don't we push for the best?
Yeah.
That's why I said, I'm looking at other people's home. I'm looking at my home.
Mm-hmm.
My home, Nigeria. We can do better.
We can certainly do better. Wow. This has been amazing. Do you guys have any more questions for Banke before she goes? This has really been you're such an inspiration, Banke. Honestly.
Oh, thank you. I love
You are
Yes,
really
I
an
am.
inspiration. You are
Thank
really.
you so much.
Any other
I
questions
feel
for
well.
her? Okay, so let's talk about, this was a question someone sent to me. What gives you joy and what makes your heart sing?
What gives me joy? Many things, many things. For knowing that God loves me, nobody can tell me otherwise. God loves me. My story, my life, people around me, I know God loves me. And my family, my friends, my job, relationship, little things make me happy. Being able to help or people helping me, strangers. I just get sometimes at the airport, I would just see people walking up to me. Are you a flight attendant or are you a pilot? I'm like, I'm a pilot. And they would just, some people would just hug me. I
do
know
you,
that.
Sorry, Banke, do you get mistaken for a flight attendant a lot?
Oh, all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, all the time.
Wow.
All the time. So I always tell people I derive my happiness from different sources, and I thank God for that. And what sings my heart is I try to build myself up to a point whereby I could be disappointed,
yeah,
but I don't get into depression. Like some people, when people do things to them,
mm-hmm.
I always choose the way I react. I can't control what other people can do.
Yeah.
But I can control the way I react to it.
Yes.
My expectation of people is not extremely high.
Mm.
I don't know. God should help me. Maybe I need to work on that. But it's not so high that it affects me so much.
Okay.
That I could be sad. Like, oh, why did they do this? But I don't dwell on it for too long.
You don't allow it to affect you that much. Okay, that's good.
Damn. I don't dwell in it for too long. I just look, okay, fine, this happened. What can I do then? You just move on. I don't.
Okay, two questions. Someone asked, how old were you when you first qualified? And second question, do you know any black female or male pilots in the UK?
Oh, yes, I do know. Well, the first question,
yes.
I qualify for my ratings at the age of 29, 30, I think, 29 or 30. And what you asked about...
do you know any female...
In
male?
The UK,
yeah.
I know Lola. Oh, what's Lola? Is a Lola, there's some, you have to forgive me, I can't remember their names. I know there's a Lola, there's another lady, I think she, I have to, I don't, maybe Onyeye or something, I have to ask.
Okay.
I know that she, somebody mentioned that, I will ask Fate. Fate will
okay.
have that information.
But you know them, you know male ones, are they male ones that you know in the UK? Okay.
I know these two male Nigerian pilots. One is, you know, younger guy. The other, maybe the other one is an older guy.
Okay.
And somebody is asking, do you fly when you are pregnant? Yes. Pregnancy is not a disease. Yes, you can.
I love pregnancy.
But some people, they don't want to, but I have colleagues that they, even second trimester, they were still flying.
It was flying.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can fly. It depends on the individual.
Yeah, I guess it depends on. I don't know. Maybe, I think maybe someone must have. I don't know where that came from. That if you're pregnant, you can't fly. Where did that come from? Anyway, I don't know.
That was then. That was some like. I at least I know for American Airlines.
Yeah.
You. I think Delta is like up until like. Something maybe 20 weeks different, and some people once they are pregnant they just want to like look, I'm not going to fly. They can do something on ground, they can get or they might just take medical leave.
Okay,
so whichever for you,
right? Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, and the final question, if there's no other question, what do you do for relaxation? I know you said because you get 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So how do you relax?
How do I relax? Quite interesting. I love documentaries. I love watching a lot of documentaries. I like reading. I hang out once in a while. Like some of my friends there, BC is one of my good friends in Atlanta. Okay. She's always an Nike and Bisola. Chineye is my Dr. Neye, my support system. They always have something. We hang out. We do like cookouts, and I hang out with them once in a while. What else do I do? Even though I travel for work, I also still like traveling. There are so many cities that you can. Now I'm planning to go to Savannah, Georgia, with some friends. We are planning on going to Savannah. There's so much that we can do. And even not so far from me, another colleague of mine, maybe she being white, she knows all about trails and all that. I have no clue. So, you live here, there's maybe 2 miles or 3 miles away from me, they have this nice park, a trail. I said, I don't even go to say so you should go. So I always like to discover stuff like that. And anytime I have opportunity, I'm in Nigeria. I like hanging out in Nigeria too.
Well, next time you're in England, like hanging out after in this COVID, we've got to hang out. I'll hang out with you and Pastor Jane and Sister Sheju. We're going to
Next time.
Yes.
That would be great. Yeah.
Do you get air sick? I think that's what she said. Do you get air sickness? I guess not. Another question. How are you as a passenger on a flight? So if you're not the one flying the plane, as a passenger, how would you? Do you feel nervous? Well, again, I don't want to use the word nervous, but how are you as a passenger?
I sleep. Most of the time. I sleep. I'm telling you, anytime I know that, sometimes I would need to go to Lagos. I don't even go home. I just go into my car at the car park, pick up my travel bag, hop on the plane to Lagos with Delta, Atlanta to Lagos. And I eat at the airport. I go to one of the restaurants or I go to the lounge. I eat very well. When I get on board, I get my seat, take like maybe some water or get a bottle of water, and I sleep. And the next thing, we are top of decent. So when I travel as a passenger, I usually sleep. Or maybe I watch movies if I'm not sleeping. Okay. I don't even think about it.
One of your Ibadan people just asked the question, and he said, You're clearly well-traveled globally. How extensively have you been around your home country, Nigeria? Which part of Nigeria?
I can say I've been to all part of Nigeria. I could clearly say I've been to the western part, southwest. I've been to the southeast. I've been to the south. I've been to northeast, and I've been to northwest. However, I strongly believe I have to do more. I've heard about the, what is that, Yankari Game Reserve?
Very good. That's in Jos. I don't know. I think that's in Jos.
Where is it? In Jos?
I think.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I've always wanted to go to the one in Calabar. Cross River.
I can't remember.
Yes, those are places one can go to.
Yeah.
So I'm guilty. I've been to some of those areas, but for work, actually, I flown there and everything. But I would love to go. Ubudu. Yes, I'd like to. I've seen pictures of Ubudu. I think it's just gorgeous. They have the air car, the air train. That's okay. We call it the air train. I love it. Just transporting you. When I go to Hong Kong, that's why I like to go to Buddha. I like crossing to we call it the Buddha Island. You, it's just it's a pulling car on a track. It's like they're crossing you over. I love stuff like that. So ah. I think do that in Nigeria too, and they have that at Obudu Ranch, Cattle Ranch.
I'd love to go there. So please, where is Yankari Game Reserve? Somebody said it's not in Jos. Where is it? Can you tell us?
I know I've heard of it.
I know I've heard of it too. I thought it was in Jos. Oh, Bauchi.
In Bauchi.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's in Bauchi. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. Okay. Well, okay, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here. And you are so, like I said, so inspirational. Really, really love you. You're an amazing woman. And you're a woman that deserves to be celebrated.
So
seriously. Wow. You
thank
really
you.
Deserve
thank
to be.
You.
Really.
And that's it for this week's episode of the Hangout Cafe podcast. If you like what you heard, don't keep it to yourself. Share with a friend or acquaintance. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you get notified as new episodes are released weekly. Catch you on the next one.